Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, hey, hey.
It's your B-Day, kind of.
Well, kind of. It's a little late. I got no text from you.
Well, listen, first of all, don't even try it this year.
Yeah. Don't even try it this year?
Yeah, don't even try to throw me under the bus.
I feel like you're the one who's not trying any year.
You love to throw me under the bus on a birthday episode.
Well, if the shoe fits, if the bus fits.
Let's just say this. We're recording this before your birthday,
yeah.
So you can't say that I haven't
I'm making a prediction right now.
Okay. Yep. It is the 131st episode of and your 31st birthday just
passed. We planned it since our first record to hit my 31st birthday.
Yeah.
I know we did.
Well, what can you tell us about your birthday weekend? Because this is coming out the Sunday of that weekend.
Right, and we're recording this on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
I can't tell you much except Carson was like, "You're busy at this time and you're busy at this time." And I was like, "Okay,
oh,
just fill up my schedule."
Interesting.
And then I wrote back to her, I go, "New phone, who dis?" And she was like, "If you keep this up,
you will
have no birthday." And I was like, "That's fair."
That's fair.
You're just being nice to me.
So you're busy in those times because she wants to be doing something, you're saying?
Let's hope.
Yeah.
I mean, knowing her, she'd be like, "Oh, just... Nope. Nothing. I don't have anything planned. I just wanted to make sure you weren't busy."
Well, fans will also...
We have a couple fans whose also birthdays are Gemini. So happy early birthday to all of you people
Geminis
as well.
Geminis out there.
And let me just say, Allie, our lawyer...
Is in the room. And she has complimented us with...
lemon cupcakes, which are what is your first foray into lemon
she
cooking?
She did say that was her first
she
foray.
She asked me because, as you know, she bakes, amazing
shit. She brought me cupcakes.
Brownies for you, I thought.
Brownies and cupcakes. I think I got both.
I had brownies and cookies for Christmas.
Yeah.
Oh, brownies and cookies for Christmas.
Oh, she did buy them.
Oh, she had to buy them.
But listen, they were delicious
still. Because she knows I love a homemade cupcake, and she brought in, and they are fucking good. Megan is saying yes. John, you loved them too.
I do.
Extremely impressed. Perfect amount of lemon.
Yeah. It's a lemon cake.
I love lemon.
With lemon and cream cheese icing. And Allie, you've outdone yourself.
You really have. They're so good. Allie's just...
I haven't had lunch yet, so I'm saving mine.
And then I go, "Oh, Allie, when's your birthday?" And she's like,
It just passed. Meanwhile,
and
like,
we did nothing. And we didn't even chat. We did nothing. Yeah.
2020 will be your year, Allie.
Yeah. So Allie, 2020, we're just building up to that. We're building up. So if anyone thought we weren't assholes,
now's the time to understand.
To confirm that we are.
Right, exactly.
We're confirming that we are.
Another thing on our radar coming up is Memorial Day. We've released a ton of episodes in the last like 2 weeks.
Yes, we have a bunch of good... Oh, and a drink came early today.
My birthday gift. On time.
I got to say, nothing has made me more excited to know that my birthday falls on the Friday of Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, that's
exciting.
It
has gotten me ramped up for the whole weekend.
Yeah.
And I know we're recording this on a Wednesday, and you announced, so this will be, just so you guys know, I was unaware of what happened on Friday, and I'm still unaware of the secret thing that happened.
I was just going to get to that.
So that's why I'm not reacting to anything right now.
Yes. But those of you listening will get the episode on Friday. Matt, is there this? It should be already live, I should say.
Yeah, Matt, is there anything I should know beforehand? Because you're getting my before reaction after, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot.
I mean, there's a lot.
I don't even want to say it right now because I don't want... This is a special. It was. People have already heard this.
Yes, correct.
It was a special birthday present for Darren.
Oh, it's very a birthday special. Present. Uh-huh. I didn't know if he'd go as far as saying that. So, yes.
Uh-huh. Happy birthday, Darren.
Is this like when you get a lump of coal for Christmas and it's like, I got you something?
I would say it's similar. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So, this is my lump of coal, Matt.
You could say that.
And it was Matt's idea, not John. So, if I hate yeah, it, it's true. All on Matt, right? Megan?
It was John's idea, actually.
Oh.
Was it? I don't remember. I don't think that's
John.
True.
Oh.
I'm just kidding.
Okay, I like good. When you I was deflect. Like, did I say that? Well, I'm excited to listen.
Well, I will say this.
I hope you guys like it.
Yeah, I know. That's true.
I don't know what it is.
On this coming Another Shot, we will have your reaction. By then, you will have experience.
I will have sat with it for 6 days and decided if I'm still working here or not.
Exactly.
It's all about the threesome that you and Brian had in college. That's basically the whole episode.
He's probably going, like, once he hears you say that, he's going to shrivel in a ball and kill himself.
And
then we can cover it next week.
All right, there you go.
It all comes full circle.
All right, Matt, tell us what we're drinking before we get into this week's episode, because there was a whole drama around key limes or something. Is that this episode?
That
I
is
can't
not
find any.
That is not this episode.
Got it. Never mind then.
That is gonna be the next episode.
Got it. So spoiler alert.
Yes. Yeah. But somebody named Ashley from South Florida sent us key limes.
Oh my goodness.
Ashley.
Yeah, they just arrived, so I didn't have time to
You're doing
that
job for you. For us, excuse me.
Yeah, I mean, I just had to go back and listen to episode 20. Sorry, this is going on a tangent. I had to go back and listen to episode 29 about the key lime famine.
Famine, yes, because you couldn't find key limes anywhere.
Oh my dear God.
It's another
you
one.
You need to go back and to listen. You were
He's looking at me, by the way.
Getting the key limes.
Yes.
And remember, John said he could do it.
This deflection on both of you, like, today.
Go back and listen.
Are you guys okay?
I'm fine.
Episode 29. Go back and listen.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
So John didn't do it, and we blamed you, is what you're saying?
No, you need to go back and listen to episode 29. I had a fit because neither one of you, between the two of you, could pick up a single ingredient. And John said, I went to the bodega or whatever on the corner with key limes.
Busy.
So anyway, thank you to Ashley, but this is next.
We'll
get into it next time.
Okay.
Ashley, thank you for doing the things that we probably should accomplish
should
on this show, but we just aren't.
That's fine.
I mean, they were shipped by UPS.
Amazing.
Well, she does live in Florida. If she can't find key limes in Florida, we're all fucked.
Okay, so today's cocktail, it's just a margarita in a bottle, pre-made.
Okay.
Okay. And we need to thank Miami Cocktail Company for providing this. It's called Copper Pot Margarita. It was complimentary, so that was very nice of them.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for saving us.
And it says it's a craft wine cocktail made with organic grapes. And it's a small batch.
Amazing.
That's it. And all you have to do is, it's a screw top.
So even an idiot can figure it out, is what Matt's saying.
By the way, I love anything that has to do with Miami, so this is exciting for me.
And I will say, before, when he was preparing the drinks, Allie was like, did you just cut your hand on a plastic butter knife?
I know, even
and that
Allie's,
was like, ow! Yeah. I'm like, ugh.
God.
Shut
all right,
up.
Well, let's cheers. Cheers to all the different things and to Darren's.
This is going
to
be a great birthday drink. Thank you, Matt. Thank
drink.
You, guys. That
Thank
cupcake
you, Matt.
Was perfect palate cleanser for this.
Wonderful. Darren, take a sip. Give a first reaction while I take a sip.
That might be my favorite drink.
What?
That might
really
be my
good.
Favorite drink.
It's pretty
it
good.
It is so refreshing.
It is very refreshing.
Like sipping that on a beach or a boat
Definitely.
Or in, you know, your office in 30 Rockefeller Plaza. All great settings.
Amazing.
It's delicious. I'm going to have
I was just
going to
say, I'm going to probably finish this one. But let's get into this week's case so that people who tuned into Martinis and Murder get what they came here for, frankly.
Fair. That's a fair point.
Let's talk about a woman named Carmen Montalongo.
Let's do it.
Carmen was born in 1959 and grew up in L.A. as part of a large immigrant family from a town in Mexico. By her 20s, she was married with a boy and a girl, but the marriage failed, and soon Carmen was a single mom in her 30s, struggling to do it all alone.
Damn.
She worked for AAA in Riverside, California, but got laid off, so she decided to work as a sort of freelance consultant. She helped recent immigrants from Mexico figure out life in America and build their lives. That's very admirable.
Did you ever take Spanish?
Yeah.
Or any language? Did
yeah,
you have
Spanish.
Like a Spanish name.
I never got one. I know so many people, even from my high school.
You could pick them, obviously. It wasn't like, you know. Mine was Carmen.
Carmen?
Yes.
Interesting.
Not Montalongo.
Is this another, timeline in the world where, like, this is actually you we're talking about?
Maybe.
Let's see what happens.
You'll never fucking know.
The deputy district attorney on the case told Snapped, quote, "If someone was looking for a tenant, she would help the landlord find it. If someone was looking for a place to stay, she would help them find it, and she would pick up commissions or a finder's fee from that, and apparently that's how she lived," end quote.
Okay.
Yeah, but Carmen was an easygoing, friendly person who scraped by on these fees, and despite career struggles, she had no problem finding men. And she did have a type, Darren.
Okay.
Older men.
Not my type.
Not your type.
No.
No, you're not into older or men.
Correct.
To confirm.
An older lady.
Well, that's true. Yeah. So in comes Samuel Wiggins, an L.A. native born in 1948. So 11 years her senior.
Which isn't that crazy.
No, that's not
bad. It sounds weird if you're like 18, 29 or 19 and 30, but like 50 and 61,
totally.
Whatever it is not that big of a deal.
Absolutely. He was raised in Compton and served in Vietnam. When he got back to the States, he worked in the aerospace industry. By the time Carmen met Samuel, he was a retired bachelor. A friend of Sam's told Snapped, quote, "I didn't think Sam was the marrying type because he had never been married, you know. He had some long-term relationships, but he never did the I do thing, you know," end quote. You know, I think that's fine. We live in a different world these days where I feel like our parents' age, everyone was married by like 21.
Yeah.
And like if you weren't married by 21, your life was spiraling out of control. Maybe I'm generalizing a bit here, but
no, but our generation is getting married later, if
definitely.
At all, having less children, if we are having them later. Like,
yeah.
I don't think people, you know, now I think if people like move in or get married after a year, I'm like, you're fucking nuts.
Yes.
But back when my parents were together,
that was very common.
That was super common. And
yeah.
That was like kind of a long time to be with somebody.
Funny you say that about people not having children, because I was just having a conversation. One of my best friends went to my former high school graduation this week.
Yeah.
And she was like, how many people did we have in our class? Because I was the class president, so she was just asking me, I guess, assuming I would know. I randomly knew because I had just looked it up in our yearbook like 2 weeks ago.
John, why were you looking it up in your yearbook?
Because it's my 15-year high school reunion.
Okay, that's fair.
And I was organizing it, and I wanted to know how many people were in our class. So my graduating class of 2004 had 250.
You had small high school.
Yeah. Well, then this year they had 150. And I'm like, wow, if that's not a sign of like, you know, what's going on with people having kids, I don't know what is. So
yeah, I mean, it's a dramatic drop. It's a dramatic drop.
People are moving away up there from the hills.
Excuse me, Matt.
Sorry.
Do not stereotype my Maryland town, because I get very defensive about that. Matt is like crying laughing right now. It's fine. Anyway, back to the story. Despite not being the marrying type, Sam was not a loner. He had a very big circle of close friends and close neighbors. But when he got into his 60s, he began to grow lonely and turned to the internet dating world, checking the sites every day.
I relate. I met my girlfriend on Tinder. Ain't no shame.
Yeah. In the summer of 2009, he decided to rent a room in his 4-bedroom house with a pool, and Carmen answered the ad. But she didn't take the place because it was too small and there wasn't AC.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, if there's no AC, keep it going.
And it's LA. LA gets pretty hot.
Yeah, definitely.
No, it does. They like don't have ACs in LA, and it's weird. But pool, that's good enough
that's
for me.
That's good, yeah.
I'll take it.
The weather's good enough. You could just jump in the pool pretty much any time, right?
Have this bottle of margarita on hand.
Yeah, that would be nice. She wasn't interested in Sam, but he was interested in her, and he asked her out over and over again until she finally gave in. I had a guy... should I say this?
I
was answering, I was looking for an apartment when I first moved to New York. And, you know, in New York, it's like a whole different world from most other places. Just getting an apartment is a huge journey that most other people on earth will never have to face. But anyway, there was a guy who I went to look at his apartment. And he seemed nice over the phone. Like, we had texted a couple times. I kind of scoped him out on Facebook. Fine. He seemed nice enough.
Yeah.
And I get to the apartment, and I'm desperate for an apartment at this point because I was like trying to get out of my friend's apartment where I was sleeping on their couch for like 2 months.
Fun.
When I first moved here.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I walk in and I'm like excited because I'm like, okay, the building's nice. Like, this is going to work out, I think. I walk in. His entire apartment is plastered, covered with wallpaper, with this and that, with nothing but Winnie the Pooh everywhere you looked.
Really?
An entire corner.
It's like an episode of High Maintenance.
An entire corner stacked full of life-size Winnie the Pooh dolls. A glass cabinet full of Winnie the Pooh figurines. And I was like, it's not even really the Winnie the Pooh stuff. It's more like you clearly have a weird addiction to a cartoon and you're like 35 years old. And I play Pokemon Go, but I don't have a huge Pikachu in the corner of my room.
Well, I was going to say, I wonder what people would think when they walk into your apartment.
I know, with all my Funko everywhere.
Just saying.
Now that you say that, let's move on.
Grown man? I don't know. You're like into cartoons. I'm like,
I walked right into that. So
checking
I don't know what
off
I'm doing.
The list of it being John Thrasher. Just yeah. like down in my mind. Listen. But I get like that is weird. Like
it's a weird thing to see.
Like Andy loves Snoopy. Like everyone knows that's a big thing, right? But he does. No, there's not like a shrine to it in any sort of way. I loved Curious George as a kid. That was like my
thing. As a kid, yeah.
And I collected a bunch of shit as a kid, and I had like you know memorabilia with it.
Yeah.
But now, like. That would be a little too much.
Especially when you're looking for a roommate, right? Like you might not want to have all this stuff like sitting out.
Yeah.
I'm talking Winnie the Pooh dishes, Winnie the Pooh wallpaper.
How have you never told this story before?
I don't
know.
I just remembered it as I was talking about it. I've told some other friends this, but.
Like, did you say anything to him? Were you like, what's up with the Pooh?
Not really, but I do remember him being like, oh, yeah, by the way, I like Winnie the Pooh stuff.
Oh, really?
I was like, oh, really? Good. I'm going to go now.
Anyone blind can see that.
It's very
Jesus.
Odd. Yeah. But then I walked right into it because look at all my Funkos.
Well, that's what
I was
going to say. I mean, I need a full aerial view.
My apartment.
No, I need a panorama of yours.
We're not having a conversation in the park here. I think we're trying to record a podcast.
Listen, no, we are, but I think the fans need to know.
My apartment looks like a GameStop.
Yes.
Let's keep going. Okay, so the two actually got along great. This is Sam and Carmen, by the way, at first, but then Sam's friends thought so as well. So one friend named Clyde Head Jr. told Snap, quote, she sat down, had a glass of wine with Sam and I. We were laughing and talking. I said, okay, Sam got a lady. She's rolling with him.
Yes, Sam,
quote.
You got a lady.
Look at Sam getting a lady. But Carmen really cared about her independence and didn't live at the house. She only visited and stayed there. What I was trying to get at was I got all hung up on the Winnie the Pooh thing.
Yeah.
After I left and told him I wasn't interested, he was texting me for like a year after this, like clearly flirting and slightly hitting on me, like hoping that we could meet up sometime. I'm like, is this how you meet people? You invite them over to your Winnie the Pooh hoarder space and then think that you're going to like meet up with them later? Anyway,
it doesn't sound like he had everything together.
No, it didn't seem that way.
There's something up.
He needs to join a Winnie the Pooh fan club.
Obviously.
And meet people there.
Yeah, obviously.
Pooh Anonymous or something and like talk about the addiction.
Anyway, so that's where I was getting at with that story. The deputy district attorney explained that, quote, it was an on and off relationship and it seemed to work for them as long as Sam paid for everything and let her have her space.
Well, I mean, this is what I've been saying from the start with Carson. Like, if
your
she paid
yeah.
for everything and gave me space,
life would be fantastic.
What am I complaining about? Smart.
I took a sip as you were saying.
Smart.
Your name was Carmen.
That's all I'm saying.
True. But a detective told Snap that eventually, quote, he thought Carmen was taking advantage of him, but the physical relationship overweighed that. He stayed with her because of sex.
He must be the first man to ever say that.
This is the first time in history that this has ever happened.
This is eye-opening.
Yeah. Another friend of Sam said, quote, he told me she got big boobs. I like big boobs, end quote. And he was just like real honest.
Megan, slice up that
no,
quote for me.
Please
I
don't.
Need it as a ringtone of John being like, I like big boobs.
Please
like,
don't.
And I cannot lie.
I like not lie. Know how to say it. I'm dead. I'm dying. Best birthday gift ever. Keep going.
I should have done my
they
research.
Must have, I wonder if they did a lot of John Thrasher's favorite activity.
Which is what? Funko collecting?
Yeah, what is that, Matt?
Titty fucking?
Oh my god. No,
it's
man.
Been, I can't believe
it's been 50
man.
Episodes and we've managed.
Remember that.
No, it's not that I didn't
By
remember
way,
that.
How is that my favorite? This is getting completely out of control.
Take a sip.
Yeah, let me take a sip.
And repeat the quote again so we could all hear it for clarification, not cackling in the background.
Well, I'm not reading the whole quote, but I will read the end of it, which was, he was just real down to earth and honest like that, end quote. Okay, fair enough.
Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals?
Maybe it's spending too much time obsessing about true crime.
No, John, that can only be a healthy thing.
Well, then maybe it's Matt.
Yeah, his voice is probably giving people nightmares.
Well, Dedicators, you can use BetterHelp Online Counseling.
Good point, John. Take a drink.
You can schedule video and phone sessions plus chat and text with your therapist.
And the licensed therapist specialized in depression, stress, relationships, LGBT matters, grief, and much, much more.
Best of all, it's a truly affordable option. Martinis and Murder listeners get 10% off your first month with a discount code Martinis.
So why not get started today? Go to betterhelp.com/martinis.
Simply fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor you'll love. That's betterhelp.com/martinis. Anyway, guys, so he took care of everything, even paying her daughter's tuition at a nearby college. Another friend of Sam's named Araceli Falcon. The names with this whole thing is crazy.
Falcon is a dope last
name.
That
is a cool last name.
What if their name is Falcon Thrasher?
That would be even more
amazing.
That'd
be so cool.
Right? This person, Araceli, says, quote, "She seems nice, but there's just something. I wasn't comfortable with her," end quote. This sentiment became pretty unanimous among his friends, and 2 years in, around April of 2011, they had become really worried. Some of Sam's friends were calling him and leaving him messages, but no one could seem to reach him. Finally, a worried neighbor called Carmen, but she just said, quote, "He's taking care of some personal business," end quote.
I mean, sometimes I don't talk to my friends for a few days, and if someone's like taking care of personal business for me, I wouldn't want to I wouldn't want to be that needy and keep calling and calling and calling. You know what I mean?
Definitely. And everyone has a different sort of behavior. Like, I know when I'm texting you, like, if you're not getting back to me, you're obviously doing something or you're ignoring me.
Exactly. Mostly ignoring.
Yeah.
On May 25th, 2011. Which, so that was yesterday when you're listening to the recording.
Yes.
8 years ago. A man named Ramon. Yeah, Ramon, even though it's R-O-M-O-N.
Ramon
Martin contacted the LAPD and said his 62-year-old uncle was missing and he hadn't been heard from in weeks.
Now, that's definitely too long, right? If you're in close communication with somebody, haven't heard from them in 2 weeks, it's a bit of a flag.
Yeah, right. I mean, for me, like, it's totally friend dependent.
Right, sure.
Ramon had been worried enough to go to Sam's house and check on him, and everything just seemed a little off, a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
The pool had been drained, which was pretty weird considering where they lived.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't leave town without telling anyone. Also, it didn't look like he actually left.
Mm.
Ramon said all of his clothes and shoes were there, and he told Snap, quote, "There's something wrong with that picture. So the first thing that came to my mind was I'm calling the police and at least make a missing persons report to find out what's going on.
That's at least the first step, I think, at this point. So that if something had happened to him, then at least the police will know that he's in the system.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, he told police that Carmen would know where he was, which is a natural assumption.
Yeah.
When the cops began looking into the missing persons case, they realized there had been several missing person reports filed on Sam.
Oh.
One was actually by a worried neighbor. Okay, so
now
the community is concerned.
Yeah.
But that report was closed when the neighbor saw his car coming and going. According to a detective, Carmen said Sam was, quote, "with this person named Emmett in Pomona."
There's another name.
Also, she'd seen him the day before. Ramon wasn't satisfied, so he went back to the house, and in the hallway, he spotted what he thought was blood on the hallway wall.
Oh, God.
Detectives did not think it was blood, however, but they followed up with Carmen anyway.
She got pissed
and called back to the police department to complain about the officer for harassing her.
Oh, okay.
Which, by the way, like, I mean, granted, I think there are circumstances where the police are harassing you for something, and you can complain, like, pure innocent, like, you should be complaining about that, but...
But in an investigation,
especially
just
not to your husband, or to your, you know,
whatever
beau or whatever.
Is, yeah.
When she did do that, however, an investigator began interrogating her over the phone again about when she had last spoken to Sam, because she's supposed to know where the fuck he is.
Right.
Here's a dramatic reading of audio of that conversation. Why don't you be the investigator?
Okay.
And since I am Carmen, I will be Carmen.
Yes. Okay. You haven't gotten in touch with Samuel, have you?
No. I just talked to him. I talked to him right after I spoke to you. I talked to him.
Does he have a cell phone?
He had one.
Does he still have one?
Well, he had one, but it's not working right now.
Scene. That was gorgeous.
That was really good. Seamless. It was almost like we were really in that call. She then said again that he was with the same mysterious Emmett in Pomona. Who the fuck is his Emmett?
And where's Pomona? Pomona?
Pomona?
No, try it again. Yeah.
In fact, she said she didn't know how much about Emmett or what his last name was, but what she said was he was a little shady and involved in drugs.
Ah.
A detective said that, quote, "they knew none of that was true. It wasn't like Sam to be involved.
Yeah,
with
maybe
any
to be
of
involved
that.
With that.
Pomona is in Southern California, near very great, close to Los
college.
Angeles.
Cool.
And
great
also, college. I think the Golden State Killer might have.
I was
going to
say it does kind of sound familiar in that way.
Well, you know, California is a sunny place for shady people. When asked about the relationship, she said they had been dating for 2 years and they were getting pretty serious, and she was actually in the process of moving in. And a detective inquired about Sam's car, asking, "So did Samuel give it to you?" End quote. Carmen replied, "Yeah, it was agreed that I could drive the car. When he asked me to move in, I told him I need transportation." End quote. That's right, girl, you do.
Now maybe that's your own inflection, but just reading this back, you know, as you're talking about it, I'm
I
like,
mean, I will say there's multiple whens that wasn't
yeah,
me
that
stuttering.
Wasn't just you. So it just makes me wonder what kind of conspiracy might be happening here.
See, like there is that, but if we know anything from John Douglas,
I know,
we can't really go on anything like that because it's like when you get. Like when you get hooked up to a lie detector, you're automatically really, really nervous.
Oh my God. Have you ever heard of white coat syndrome?
No.
Okay.
It's like anytime a white coat is in the room or something.
Whenever I go to the doctor, I have extreme anxiety to the point where they can't even take my vitals or my, blood pressure because I get so anxious that my heartbeat starts going crazy and it takes me like 30 minutes to calm down
before
they can even take my information. It's kind of crazy.
White coat syndrome.
Yeah. That's what I didn't even know was a thing until my doctor was like, "You need to relax."
Right. Right.
You need a gravity blanket.
Yeah. I need something.
A thunder shirt.
I need someone to hold me really tight.
Sometimes we give our dog a thunder shirt when he freaks out because he likes to be
Bring her Funko Pops.
Yeah. Maybe they'll help me.
God, imagine that imagery. Well, it seemed clear to investigators that she was hiding something. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that was the inflection she was giving or just the fact that she was being pretty vague about everything. The car was the first lead investigators went for. LA Sheriff's Department brought a cadaver dog out to the house to examine the car, and the dog immediately was alerted to the trunk, which, like, nothing good happens in the trunk.
No, never.
Like, if you're going to kill a body, put it in the front seat and just prop it up.
Oh, okay. They're... Tips by Darren.
Because no one alive sitting in the trunk. Just
that's true.
Hashtag pro tip.
Listen, you've got a good point. Take a drink.
You know what?
Go ahead right
I
now.
I fucking will.
You did such a good job just now, and I hope that you're not.
Did you like that? That was very investigative.
Yeah, it was.
They popped the trunk, but found nothing. Uh-huh. Still being because the dog was trained to smell a decomposing body. It was suspicious. We need to get someone who trains these dogs in here because I got to know what's involved in the training.
Maybe,
we
might actually have something lined up
down
the road.
It has to be crazy. Like, I have to know what they do. Yeah. And Carmen wasn't home. In fact, she'd gone missing as well. That same day, someone else called the police on Carmen in Ontario, California.
Sorry,
I'm just picturing them like the cadaver dogs like smelling Matt over and over and over again. They're like, "Oh, yep, we smell death. Okay, let's keep going."
Yeah, that would potentially happen.
There's a canine like guru that's going to be at Crime Con.
Yeah.
Oh, well, let's.
We can maybe talk to that.
And I was just laughing because Matt, I could tell, was trying to say that, but I was kind of giving him a cue and waiting for you. And he was just like,
He was like, "Carmen's suspicious.
Information, guys."
Too bad people can't see the acting jobs going on right now because it's impressive.
We should really like stream this recording every week.
We should, but then Matt will be like in it.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And then obviously this is our show.
Yeah.
Anyway, right. Carmen's cousin Matthew told police that Carmen was digging up a body in his backyard. He said, quote, "All I see is fucking chopped up legs," end quote. He said she.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love how much this guy curses. And for the situation, it's totally, appropriate. But it's just, I just love it.
Yeah.
I also love that we like dashed out fucking on a Word document that we've been using. That's just so sweet.
With our research.
Yeah.
He said she'd been coming around lately to the property and digging holes all over the yard with flower pots and telling people she was planting a garden.
It's just like these people, like, I mean, granted, she could just be planting a garden, but like now you're just throwing up red flags everywhere.
Right. Her cousin Matthew told police, quote, "She's fucking unburying bodies in the back, trying to get them out. She's throwing body parts like 1-2 feet away in the trash can, like just throwing parts. The smell's like fucking unbearable." End quote.
Are we like, I don't mean to laugh because I'm not laughing at that. I'm laughing at like the absurdity of it all.
I mean, I at the risk of being insensitive, that's probably the funniest quote that we've ever read on this podcast.
I mean, it's so cavalier, right? She's just digging up fucking bodies in the back and throwing toenails everywhere.
It's like a bad movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's like The Room,
or
but
some
murder.
Sort of cult movie classic. 100%.
Well, he was talking to 911, and the 911 operator said, "Can you walk out of the house?" He says, "I'm already fucking up the street." End quote.
This guy.
That was a good acting job.
Yeah, thank you. Well, listen,
I'm already fucking up the
street. You know. Well, anyway, but Carmen wasn't going to let her cousin just walk away. She was dragging the trash can behind her down the street, repeatedly asking him for help. According to NBC News, quote, he said he also saw her throw body parts in the trash can and that she offered him $5,000 to help dispose of the remains.
I mean, granted, I know Matthew's related to her, and I feel like blood is thicker than anything, and you can trust your family.
But this guy...
But to be so... But, like, regardless, like, she's just, like, taking a leg and throwing it in the trash can, like, in front of her home. Like, what?
Well, you're right. And good for him to call 911, by the way. So there's that. I'm already at the fucking street.
Following him and pestering to, like, what is she like? Grab his arm.
The imagery in my head is just very disturbing. But the deputy district attorney said, quote, when Ontario Police Department rolls up on her, she is almost a block and a half away from the actual house, end quote. When Carmen saw the police, she parked the trash can outside a stranger's house and walked inside as if she lived there.
Smart.
What?
What?
The cops called her back and looked in the can to see human body parts, including a torso and guts.
I mean, this is this is like the sloppiest thing I've ever heard of.
Yeah, this
it's
is
embarrassing.
Not, this doesn't seem like you're doing a good job. She wouldn't say who it was, but when she was arrested, she said, quote, that's the son of a bitch that raped me, end quote.
Oh, so the plot thickens.
But do you believe somebody who has a bag of body parts in their bag? Who really knows?
I mean... would not be my first instinct.
Right. So Carmen sits down for an interview, and it's clearly not looking good for her. Also, she wasn't physically looking so good. A detective told Snap, quote, she still had debris, dirt, and human decomposition stains on her, and there was an odor, end quote. Matt, don't laugh at that.
Tide Stick, sponsor us because we can get decomposition out of my shirt.
Yeah.
It's like a zombie movie.
It does sound like a zombie movie. She was willing to talk, but only with her lawyer there. Problem was, it was Memorial Day weekend,
uh-oh,
much like it is this time, and he wasn't answering the phone. She refused and was booked. Meanwhile, they got to the corpse. They suspected it was Sam, but they couldn't be 100% sure. The trash can didn't have his head in it, so it wasn't easy. And they went to check her cousin Matthew's yard, because remember, it's just holy. There's a garden apparently over there. Matthew said, quote, here's another one. Quote, six other units came, and then like three other helicopters came, and 10 more units came, and then the FBI came, and it was just really kind of crazy, end quote.
Deadpan. It was just, no cursing, though.
No cursing in that one. There were massive holes everywhere, but they didn't find the corpse's head. They went back to Sam's house, and remember the blood that wasn't blood? Well, it was blood, and it had been cleaned, but not well enough. The LA Times reported that Carmen, quote, cleaned the crime scene and even removing tile to hide evidence.
This is just like the worst.
Worst possible
this
scenario.
This is like silly.
The deputy DA said, quote, in the front of his bedroom door, there's blood smeared on the top of that wall, and then there's blood splattered very close to the bottom of it, so I believe that that's where he fell, end quote.
She's not a very good cleaner.
No, this is, you know, that's disturbing, like thinking that he would have fallen,
terrible.
You know. They checked his computer too. He checked his dating website every day until April 26th when he abruptly stopped. Sam was a creature of habit and bought the same things at the same places, and his credit card and banking history showed that until that same date. But after that, it appeared that Carmen was withdrawing large sums from ATMs.
Not looking good for Carmen here.
No.
So there's motive, plenty of evidence, and a body, but one thing is still missing.
Right.
His head.
Yeah.
Well, the case was shocking in LA, and the media ate it up. It was all over the news. I mean, how could it not be?
There were three helicopters.
Murder garden.
Above.
The FBI came.
Right.
I'm just fucking up the street.
Right.
So it wasn't surprising that someone would see the news and come forward, and that person was Carmen's mother.
Ooh.
Blood sometimes is not thicker
than
water. That's
right. Goes against what you were just saying.
She contacted the police and said she had received a gift from Carmen. The Boston Globe reported that Montelongo delivered two large flower pots on Mother's Day. Police rushed to those flower pots, and you can only guess what was in them. As the Daily Bulletin wrote, quote, 4 days after Montelongo's arrest, Wiggins' head and arms were found inside large flower pots at a house rented by the defendant's cousin.
Well, this is interesting, not to interrupt you, but I do want to...
It's actually kind of clever, though.
It is clever, but I wonder how they got to that, because because the mom contacts police and says she received a gift from Carmen. Like, how did they get to, oh, the head might be in that gift?
Probably news reports saying that they got it.
I mean,
maybe
this to me is the most bizarre part of the story, though, yeah. Because if you want to dispose of a body, then go put it somewhere. Like, don't give it to your mom.
Throw it in the river. You're literally keeping it around.
Perverse thinking of this. I mean, does she want her mom to? Is there some kind of pleasure that Carmen is getting giving her mom a flower pot with that human head in it?
Yeah. Well, maybe she just doesn't think like the police would ever suspect to look in the mom's flower pot, you know? I don't know.
Well, yeah, because it is a little bit of like hiding in plain sight. Like, yeah. On one hand, it's kind of oddly clever.
Yeah.
And then on the other hand, you're the biggest idiot.
Right.
But you could, ever. Like, tie, you know, cement blocks.
Yeah,
to
how
it,
do you do
it? They just let it throw it into a lake.
And they're never
going to
find it.
Oh, Matt's got a theory and a plan. Interesting.
I
watch
know.
Out, everybody.
Matt all of a sudden took up gardening.
He's like, why don't you just do it this exact, precise, detailed way
like,
and then get away with it? That's how I did it.
Well, obviously, when the body was all together, investigators pieced together what had happened. The deputy DA said, quote, from the evidence we have, I believe that he was stabbed twice in the chest while he was standing in the front of his bedroom door. He grabs on the walls and then he falls, which explains the
terrible.
Blood splatter.
Yeah.
But it got worse. Once he was down, it appeared that Carmen had stabbed Sam 22 times in the back. 22 is my lucky number, so this may be me. Then the dismembering began. The detective told Snapped, quote, some of the parts were removed from the body by a knife. Others were sawed off, end quote. Investigators weren't quite sure when Carmen chopped him up, but they knew it was before May 8th because that's when she gave away the flower pots containing his head and arms as gifts. Not for nothing, and I think we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
It's got to be fucking impossible to chop up a body by yourself.
I know. How do people do this?
Like, I know Matt's cutting his hand with a plastic butter knife over here, and so maybe it's not that hard.
Well, maybe it's not as hard.
But,
yeah.
Like, sawing bone? Like, that would be difficult.
I just cannot possibly fathom, even in like a you know, like a scientific cadaver setting, I don't think I could ever quite bring myself to like saw through a human bone.
That's
why
I just refilled my drink, because I was like,
it's time.
Really,
you're gonna need
talk
it for
about
this.
Maybe that, Megan.
She's saying,
like, you can like almost go it at the joint, like the tissue in between
fair.
The bones. But like,
but still,
most of those bones are huge. Like,
yeah.
Your femur, everything, like. Even like the neck, like on your, I don't know.
Let's not get too gross as you take your next
drink. Yeah, we're
going
to need to experiment with this.
All right, well, let's get to the trial. So on August 7th, 2014, Carmen finally stood trial for killing her boyfriend, Sam. And of course, she was caught walking down the street carrying a trash bin full of his body parts. But Carmen's defense was consistent with what she had told the cops, that Sam had raped her. But the defense gave this theory little notice, and all of Sam's character witnesses thought it was completely preposterous. So basically saying this is not something that Sam would ever do.
Right.
The DA said, quote, the theme of my case was Carmen Montelongo used Mr. Wiggins, that for her, he was worth more to her dead than alive, end quote. I'm not sure that that even really adds up, does it?
I don't really get that, though, because it seemed like she had a decent life with him.
As far as we know.
I'm not really sure. I mean, again, like, unless there's like a huge life insurance thing, I'm not really sure what she gains, especially because she did it so sloppily.
Yeah. No, right. Exactly. And they went to show that she had made a living off of men. The detective said, quote, she seduced elderly men with sex to take advantage of them financially, end quote.
She's not the first person to do this. This is a common theme.
So they went about putting Carmen's other lovers on the stand, and they weren't prior lovers. A man named Carmelo testified that he had been seeing Carmen at the same time she had been seeing Sam.
Carmen and Carmelo is the biggest lesbian thing you could do, but that's fine.
He said she had very strict rules about when they could be together, just like Sam, and that he could never visit her unannounced. Carmelo also testified that Carmen had been taking advantage of him financially. Then a man named Jacques testified that he had dated Carmen when she was in her 20s and he was in his 60s. So there's a pattern for sure.
Yeah. I mean, men need to like wise up with this. Like, come on.
Yeah. They had been together for 20 years, and Jacques' family had tried to intervene, but for him, it was about sex, and they couldn't get him to leave her. The detective said of the end of their relationship, quote, Jacques was basically living on the street, begging neighbors for food, and Carmen Montelongo was collecting his social security check, end quote. That's quite a statement.
I mean, fair. I mean, listen, and like, clearly he's consenting to this.
Yeah.
She had big boobs.
Right, remember? Right, do like, you remember that, Darren?
Are men, like, dumb? Like, I'm flabbergasted by this, and I know it can happen, but, like, he's begging for food on the street, and she's collecting a check, and he's like, oh, I'm just doing it for sex. I'm like, what?
Yeah, there's some kind of scam obviously going on. But these men were still alive, so what was the difference? The prosecutor showed the court that Sam had realized what was going on and had been telling people that she was stealing from him. So it seemed like a pretty open and shut situation. How could the defense possibly try to save the case? Carmen decided she could do it and took the stand.
All right, Carmen.
Carmen claimed that Sam had raped her, she had told Jacques, and when she went back over to Sam's place, he was dismembered. And how about walking down the street with his remains? Well, she was tired of the sheriff's office insisting to see Sam. As the detective explained, quote, she was taking the body of Sam Wiggins to the Walnut Police Sheriff's substation to show them where Sam Wiggins was, end quote.
Oh,
he's
so
here
instead
in
of
my
bringing
back.
The mountain to Mohammed, we bring Mohammed to the mountain.
Exactly.
Very confused
right.
as to why she wouldn't just ring up the
ring
police
up, yeah, right.
and say, hey.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, she was trying to save them time and energy.
That's right. It's like Ashley sending us key limes.
A good citizen.
That's right. It's like Ashley sending us key limes.
Well, her cousin said, quote, she looked cocky like she had it in the box. She was going to win the trial, end quote. Apparently, that's what she thought would work.
Well, yes.
By this point in the trial, Jacques had passed away and couldn't deny this happened. That's an even more interesting
right,
twist.
But you don't have to prove his guilt.
Right.
You have to prove his guilt.
Right. But the defense's plan didn't work, as you might have guessed. The LA Times reported that she, quote, was sentenced Monday to 26 years to life in prison for stabbing her boyfriend to death, dismembering his body, and hiding some of the parts in the potted plants, end quote. She will be eligible for parole in the year 2037, which in theory isn't even that far from now, but sounds like a sci-fi thriller.
Yeah.
After her conviction, Carmen announced her engagement to another inmate who is serving a sentence of 248 years.
Well, love is love, and you can't find, you know, you can't help who you fall in love with.
Is that the moral of the story? Because, you know, people like
that is the moral
like
of the story.
Wow.
I'll have to ask my mother for motherly advice. I think it's, okay, the one interesting thing is that she didn't kill the other supposed quote-unquote
right.
lovers. But with that being said, that doesn't necessarily mean that Sam raped her.
There's no, yeah.
And like, why didn't she go to the police?
Yeah.
He raped her. Why? She's bringing body parts to the police, but she can't go
in
to the police to say that he raped her?
Hmm.
That seems odd.
That's a good point.
Also,
take a drink.
Wouldn't you just shoot someone or kill someone? I mean,
you're
going to, because you were raped, you're going to like dismember every single limb and put a head in the flower pot and etc.
I don't know, who knows what these people that commit these kind of crimes are thinking.
It's hard to say. I mean, when you read the facts or you read the story, to me, like, something seems like not okay up there.
Definitely,
it doesn't seem to make any sense of the motive, really. Considering the fact that we didn't even know, like, life insurance policy, clearly she's like a swindler, but it's like highly bizarre. Highly bizarre.
Very weird.
Well, let us know your thoughts on this episode. Tag us at Carpe Darren, at Jay Thrasher, and at Matt_the_bartender.
Yeah, we want to know what you guys think. Let's get to listener shout outs.
Okay.
Sam Ruiz on Facebook had something really nice to say, Darren, about us.
Oh.
He says, quote, just came on here to give props to John Thrasher and Darren Karp on your interview with John Douglas. So good. I really enjoyed it. Wish it could have been longer. You guys rock. Whenever I get to back to NYC, drinks and Taco Bell on me.
Oh.
Maybe you can bring that deer too. Still undecided. Hashtag dedicator, hashtag martinis and murder. Taco Bell, I don't know if you knew this, just has a new rule that says no deer allowed.
Yeah, no
How
deer.
Sad.
You can bring
no.
animals, but
yeah,
not
like
deer.
Us. Yeah.
Sam, so nice. We definitely wish the interview could have gone much longer
I
could have talked to him forever. I probably brought him up 7 times this past week. Like, just talking about everything. Like,
yeah.
He was crazy.
Love it.
Stasia on Facebook says, with this crazy weather everywhere, I hope nobody is sick, but if you are, always remember, a tersh burn of sugar helps the medicine go down.
I love that. That wasn't even like a shout out to us. It was just such a funny thing that I love our Facebook group.
Well, allergies have been out this year.
Uh-huh.
And I just wanted to say a big thank you to some fans that I know came to a game show that I ran last Friday. So it was like 9 days ago from when you guys are listening to this at Duplex. It was awesome. It was so fun. I really appreciate it. We had a blast.
How many people, do you know anyone that, did anyone come up to you or anything? Or
yeah, there were 70 people there. We sold it out. So nice. That was great.
Amazing.
Yeah, super fun.
I wasn't in town. I just want to point that out in case anyone's wondering like why I didn't go and support. I was not in town. Thank you, everybody.
Just going into town. That's true. You weren't invited. Yeah. But no, were you in town without cell service to say like, good luck tonight or anything like that?
You know what? I was traveling back to Maryland. I got stuck in a rainstorm.
Little disappointed, buddy. Everything. No text from you.
Interesting. Wow. Yeah. Throwing me under the bus right
now. No text. Let's see if he even remembers my fucking birthday.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, one other thing I wanted to do is, you know, I've been mentioning going as plastic-free as possible lately after seeing a photo of that beached whale, you know. But it was perfect timing because June 5th is one plastic-free day. And basically, this idea is to inspire the world to turn off the plastic tap and, you know, say no to plastic and no to creating more waste and pledge yes to having a reduced usage of your own plastic and, you know, just being a better environmentalist, essentially. For me, it was definitely using like plastic bags and like iced cups from like Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts and things like that. Mm-hmm. I drink a lot of those ice drinks, so I was like, oh, I'm using way too much of this plastic. But anyway, use hashtag one plastic free day on social media to share how you're going to be pledging to reduce your plastic use. And Darren,
uh-oh,
are you getting excited?
I'm on the edge of my seat.
You guys listening are getting a discount code for the oxygen.com shop to buy your own reusable water bottles.
So if you want to see John with it at Starbucks five times a day,
which is what is going to happen.
Fill me up, sir.
Exactly. So go to shopoxygen.com now and use code NOPLASTIC, that's NOPLASTIC, at checkout and get 15% off an Oxygen reusable water bottle. Or there's even a Martinis and Murder reusable water bottle,
which
that has,
is way better.
Yeah, which has Matt the bartender's like little insignia logo type of thing on it. But also, side note, you can get 15% off anything on the site, but we hope that you'll buy a reusable water bottle. Lastly, I wanted to say that they're metal and they come with this awesome little built-in straw, and they're perfect for like,
oh, I like that,
workouts or if you're in between classes, things like that. I use mine when I'm playing tennis and it keeps the water way cooler than like a plastic bottle.
So you're gearing people up for the beach weather and pool weather at summer.
Yes.
So they don't keep buying those bad cups.
Because
we use it.
Yeah. Not only the cups, but like the actual water bottles that we see, like the plastic water bottles, are just so bad for the environment. And this poor whale, which I'm sure is not the only animal that's ever eaten plastic, this poor whale had nothing but the plastic water bottles in its stomach.
Right, right.
So anyway,
Although if that whale had like Martinis and Murder water bottles in it, it would be horrible and terrible. What could ad promotion for us?
We would do a live show.
Seems like a missed opportunity.
From the whale.
To kill the whales.
From inside the whale's stomach.
Yes.
In fact.
We need to start thinking of better marketing schemes.
Exactly.
Matt.
On it.
He's mid-drink. Have a great Memorial Day. And as I'm, you know, as
have a great Memorial Day, guys.
As your mom, by the way, we did a poll.
I'm dad, yes.
You're dad, I'm mom.
But I love how some people were like, screw the gender roles. And I was like, well,
that's the point.
Parents.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We're the parents. Wear your sunscreen and use metal water bottles.
I'm really all about using. I'm like, now I'm at the point in my life, though. Like, I used to love to tan, love going, not like in tanning beds or whatever,
but
like in
outside,
the beach.
Yeah.
And now I'm just so scared of everything.
Me too.
So I'm like, I don't even care. And I have like freckles on my face. And like, my dermatologist was like, you definitely need to watch that.
Yeah,
I was
fuck. Well, that's life.
Well, here I am going to be alabaster for summer.
Welcome to 31. You're alabaster this summer.
Right.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys. Happy Memorial Day.
Bye.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.